Hello and happy Monday. I'm Coy Wire. You are watching CNN 10. You know, Mondays, they get a bad rap. Sometimes we feel sluggish. Sometimes we feel daunted by the thought of the week ahead. But think about this. Mondays are like brand new beginnings, a new canvas. So let's get to work on our masterpiece and get you your news for Monday, June 8th. We begin in Washington, D.C., where one of America's most recognizable landmarks is getting a major makeover. Crews have begun filling the newly refurbished reflecting pool on the National Mall. U.S. President Donald Trump calling it his gift to the United States of America. It's one of several projects and events approved in the lead-up to America's 250th birthday celebration later this summer. While initial estimates put the cost at about $1.8 million, federal records now show the price tag has climbed to at least $13 million. Supporters say the improvements are worth the investment. Critics question whether taxpayer dollars could be better spent elsewhere. Our Sunland Sarfati has more.
In his quest to remake Washington in his distinctive style and flair, President Trump has become fixated on his side gig, absorbed with every detail, color, material.
We're missing medallions. See the medallions?
As he prioritizes a handful of renovations and changes across D.C.,
so this is a Greek, more or less. It comes out of Greece.
All across D.C., there are projects that are popping up. President Trump is painting the reflecting pool from gray to now an American flag blue.
So we're putting a beautiful surface on. It's called the coloring. It's like a swimming pool, but industrial strength.
He also wants to paint this pool here at the World War II Memorial.
On the bottom, we're going to duplicate it, I think, with the maybe with a slightly different color. Actually, we'll go with a lighter color.
And in this empty circle, he's building a huge 250-foot arch, the tallest in the world.
We have an unbelievable arch that I think will be the most beautiful in the world being built there.
And this space will be the president's sculpture garden with 250 statues of historic Americans. And of course, here at the White House, where the president has demolished the East Wing and is building a massive 90,000 square foot ballroom, and hints of another project just behind us, that's a temporary installation on the South Lawn where the president will host a UFC fight.
Inside the White House, the president has also flexed his design muscles, built a presidential walk of fame along the White House colonnade, gilded the Oval Office, and paved over the Rose Garden, creating a Mar-a-Lago-type patio. But Trump's aesthetic ambitions are hitting multiple hurdles. Americans are overwhelmingly unhappy with many of the changes. There's concern on Capitol Hill about the growing cost of all the construction. And the White House has been hit with at least multiple lawsuits challenging whether Trump can move forward without proper approvals. Despite all this, Trump is pushing forward fast.
Did you know America's most famous monument is literally two different colors because the country ran out of money? The Washington Monument, honoring the United States' first president, George Washington, is the 555-foot marble obelisk towering over Washington, D.C. This was the tallest building in the world upon its completion in 1884. But here's where the story gets wild. Construction stopped for more than 20 years because of political chaos and lack of funding during the Civil War era in the 1860s. When the project resumed, the workers had to use marble from a different quarry, lending to that famous color change we see halfway up there today. It's basically America's biggest construction patch job. The World Cup kicks off Thursday with Mexico and South Africa starting the party, and fans are ready. Thousands gathered in Mexico City to take part in a massive human wave over the weekend. You know, the move. One section stands, then another, then another. The phenomenon was actually born in the United States before becoming one of soccer's most beloved traditions during the 1986 World Cup in Mexico. Officials believe these fans set a new Guinness World Record on Saturday for largest human wave ever. Mexico City is one of 16 host cities welcoming matches across the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Over in Mexico's Nuevo León state, the governor passed out sombreros as gifts to members of Japan's team just after their arrival in Monterrey. I'll be in L.A. for the U.S. team's opening match on Friday. Vamos! A Nepali Sherpa who went missing for 6 days on Mount Everest without food or oxygen has been found alive. Officials spotted 52-year-old Dawa Sherpa above base camp and brought him down to safety last Thursday. He had been guiding a Polish climber when the pair failed to reach the summit. Somewhere between Camp 3 and Camp 4, the two became separated. How is unclear. The discovery came near the end of Everest's climbing season when only a handful of climbers remained on the mountain. The Sherpa was rushed to the hospital. His family says he's in good condition overall and is being treated for frostbite and other complications. Pop quiz hotshot. Which battle is generally considered the first major battle of the American Revolution? Bunker Hill, Yorktown, Saratoga, or Trenton? If you said Bunker Hill, you're a patriot powerhouse. Despite the name, most of the fighting in 1775 actually happened on nearby Breed's Hill, closer to Boston. Just in time for America's 250th birthday, a team of Boston archaeologists are digging to solve some major mysteries about the Revolutionary War. Historians say the maps showing exactly where parts of the Battle of Bunker Hill unfolded don't always agree. Now volunteers, many veterans themselves, are searching for clues underground, trying to answer questions that have remained unsolved for more than two centuries.
251 years after the Battle of Bunker Hill, there's still a lot we can learn about the bloodiest day of the Revolution. That's if you're willing to dig for it.
We've got two different trenches open right now. Those are the places where we've seen in the radar.
Joe Bagley is Boston City archaeologist. He's leading the team looking for evidence of the readout. A hastily built earthen fort constructed by colonial soldiers in the dead of night on the eve of the 1775 battle.
Many maps have been drawn, but they all disagree with each other. So we're really hoping to kind of lock in exactly where it was located. And if we can, figure out exactly what it looked like.
This is one of the first archaeological surveys ever done on this part of Breed's Hill.
I'm screening dirt, so all the dirt we scoop out of the holes, we put them in here.
Much of the crew digging up this historic battlefield are veterans, part of a group which helps them transition to careers in archaeology.
And I think as a veteran, you do draw kind of a family connection to the individuals who fought and in a lot of cases died on sites like this. So what we really try to do with the archaeology is make it less about kind of that huge picture and more about those individual stories that archaeology can really tell based off those artifacts that we're finding in the grounds.
And this is just day two of a 2 week long dig, and they've already found some incredible artifacts.
This is a really good cross-section of all the different stories here.
A 400-year-old Native American stone tool, a piece of a 19th century Victorian doll, a mysterious key, and the crown jewel.
Which is probably the most incredible thing so far. This is a gun spall or a gun flint that was used in a musket. This is from the Battle of Bunker Hill, so this would have actually been here during the battle.
Proof they may soon uncover the secrets of the fort that lies under the hill.
So this isn't just the history of the battle, it's also the history of Boston. And so we're really excited to actually see so many pieces of history kind of connecting all of those stories.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, 300 students, 300 free bikes, and one bespoke way to cruise into summer.
Yo, bro, no, bro, yes.
What's that?
What do you think, dude?
Good. I'm literally excited.
The nonprofit is called Graduation on Wheels. These 7 and 8 year olds from 10 DC area schools spent the entire school year in gym class learning everything from proper riding posture, navigating traffic, rules of the road to bicycle repair and maintenance.
We want them to be lifelong learners. We want them to be active for a lifetime, not just for the time that they're with us. Straighten up, straighten up.
The best thing is having them on my own bike because I get to ride it by myself and I don't need no help.
Once they pass the course, each student is gifted a free bike, a helmet, and bike lock. And not to mention that childhood rite of passage, riding your bike in the summertime.
This is one of the joys of my life. This is hundreds and hundreds of kids who just get a chance to do something that's life-changing.
I really like that story. A cycle of success. All right, superstars, couple of shout-outs coming at you. Mrs. Jones at Weir Middle School in New Hampshire. Your students wrote to us to say how grateful they are for your innovation and creativity. Thank you for including CNN 10 in your plans. Next up, Miss Hull, and everyone at Olympus High School in Holiday, Utah, thank you for all the awesome messages. Let's make it a marvelous Monday. Get outside if you can. Ride a bike, take a walk, soak up some sunshine, or listen to the rain. Those are things that tend to help us feel a little better. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.